Good evening. If you would, turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm sure all of you can have experienced this. You've started your week. Things are going well. You've got your day going. You're accomplishing tasks. Things are moving along great. Just having a really good week at work, at home, whatever. You've got your checklist of things you need to get done, and things are checking off, and you're moving along. And then the phone rings, someone walks into your office, and all of a sudden, you're no longer making progress, you're behind the eight ball, and things have gone from calm to chaos in a heartbeat. That basically sums up my days lately. Just go from calm to chaos, from joy to sorrow, sickness or health to sickness, just never knowing what the next moment might bring. In a twinkling of an eye, it changes. As Eric was up here this morning, I was so thankful that his messages this morning is the same message I have this evening. There is a sure and certain foundation in this world, and we have it right here in the gospel. In all our chaos, when the Lord enables us to come to a passage of Scripture and blesses us to see what Christ has done for us, what great things God has done for His people, it is a sure and a lasting foundation. A couple of weeks ago, my day had started off great. I was ahead. Everything was going well. And Gabe called me and said, "Would you read in my in the study?" I was like, "Great." Generally, when he calls, things have already gone haywire. And I'm just like, "Okay, just one more thing. All right, I can take it." But this day, I was like, "Oh, I'm going to have time before service. I'm going to get off a little early, and I'll have time to sit down and study." And about 3 hours later, the phone call came. And as usual, I was running late, getting off on Wednesday evening, didn't have time to truly prepare. And, you know, as the day goes on, I'm trying to figure out, where am I going to turn? What word do I want to bring in the study, or do I think will be a blessing? And my mind turned to Ephesians 1. And it just blessed me, and it blesses me every time I read it. So let's read this chapter together again, and then we'll take some time and just look at the riches of grace that are revealed here. How God chose, how God redeemed, how God sealed His people. It's all declared right here in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We're just going to look through this verse by verse. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. The very first thing that captured my attention while I read this was the phrase, the will of God. That phrase brings me comfort, brings me assurance. Just the four words, the will of God. What did I find comforting and assuring about this? The will of God. This declares the sovereignty of Almighty God. As Nebuchadnezzar said, he, God Almighty, doeth according to his will. God is the only one who does according to His will. If He wills a thing, it shall come to pass. And if He doesn't will a thing, it has no power to come to pass. It will not happen. What a word of surety. The will of God. Next, I was called up by God's particular people. This letter is written by Paul, and he addressed it to a distinct group of people. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Every promise, every blessing, every curse that is recorded in God's word is to a somebody, to a distinct person. Have you ever tried reading a letter that wasn't addressed to you? I've got a stack of letters at home. It's mostly letters from my grandmother to her mother while they were stationed overseas. And every now and again, I like to pick them up and read them. And some of the letters I can read and everything's fine. But other letters, because I knew both the sender and the receiver, then other letters I'll read and I understand all the words in it. I know exactly what the words mean. But I come to some phrases, to some people that are mentioned, to some places that are referred to. I don't know them. And I lose the context of the entire letter. I can't know specifically what that letter meant. This particular letter was written to the saints which are at Ephesus. Had Paul stopped right there, there would be no reason for me to continue reading this letter. I'm not a saint at Ephesus. We're not saints at Ephesus. It would not have been addressed to us. But thank God he did not stop there. He says, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful. Aren't you glad he didn't stop right there? To the faithful in Christ Jesus. Can any of us claim to be faithful apart from Christ? Oh, we put on a good show sometimes. We'll try to convince one another that we are faithful. But to satisfy the holy God's standard of being faithful, not a soul born of Adam can claim that status. Thanks be to God for our Lord Jesus Christ, who joined himself to us. He is faithful. And the saints, both at Ephesus and not at Ephesus, are faithful in him. In verse 2, Paul continues his salutation by revealing his prayer for the saints, which is, by God's grace, the same prayer we have for one another. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. What blessings. Grace to be looked upon favorably by the holy, just God. And peace. Peace, which in our natural flesh we disdain, we hate it to our own destruction. But in Christ, because of His obtaining of our peace, Paul's prayer for us for grace and peace is answered. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. His salutation being ended, Paul jumps straight away to the heart of the gospel, substitution. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord, God the Son, is the eternal God who walked this earth as a man. And as a man, he blessed God in perfect, holy blessing. And as a man, he cried out upon that cross, my God, my God. The eternal God in three persons. We can't explain it. We can't understand it. We can't enter into it. Don't dare ask me how God the Son increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's astounding. The eternal God inhabiting a child's body increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I can't understand it. I can't explain it, but I can, by God's grace, sing the praises of our God, who is a just God and a Savior. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What has the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ done? Who hath done? It's finished. It's past tense. It's always been past tense. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? Why has he blessed us? Why has he caused us to prosper in spiritual blessings? Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we blessed? Because we are chosen in him. But when did he choose us? Was it when we decided for him? When we decided we'd start going to church? When we said, oh, I'll stop doing all these bad things? When did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. And to what end? What's the result for us that he chose us before the foundation of the world? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And this wretch, this sinful man, a man that is full of sin, a man described over in chapter 2, verse 1, as being dead in trespasses and sins, who in verse 2 walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What does all that mean? It can be summed up in that last word of verse 2. Disobedience. That's who I am by nature. Disobedient. Rebellious. And in verse 3, about the middle of it, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That is what I am by nature. That is what all of Adam's children are by nature. Is it possible that this man, a child of wrath even as others, should be holy and without blame before him in love? it is possible, back in Ephesians 1:5, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, having predestinated us. This morning, Eric mentioned the way of the wicked. That's the way I was on. It's the way I was going. In love, God the Father said of this sinner, as he did of Noah of old, he said, "You found grace in my eyes. And that path that you're on, I've predestined. I've turned it over. And I've set your destination to be Christ." It's not a path I would have taken. It's not a path I wanted. But because He chose me, because He loved me, He gave me a destination. And that destination, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Destination is to be a part of the family of God Almighty. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. And don't you love this next line? According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. The triune God, according to the good pleasure of His will, chose from a fallen race of mankind, a race of disobedient, rebellious, sinful, dead, ungodly men and women. He chose a number that no man can number to show them mercy and grace. The Father of God chose these people, and He gave them to the Son of God. And in the next few verses, we'll read how He redeemed us. Ephesians 1:7. In whom, in the Beloved, in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have, right now in this present sinful existence, we have redemption through His blood. The wages of sin is death. Our sins were not swept under a rug. They weren't silently disregarded. Justice was satisfied. The Holy One of Israel came to His people, to His bride, and He lived the righteous life that we could not and would not. Then He, bearing the sin and the shame of His bride, the sin and shame that she had earned to herself, that sin and shame that we actively seek out, He became one with her. And He took her burden and He went to Calvary's tree. He endured the judgment. He suffered under the wrath that we earned. He bled. He laid down His life because of our sin. When He cried out, "It is finished," our redemption price was paid. When we had nothing to pay, our Lord Jesus Christ paid the debt we owe, and He freely forgave us. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. For what reason were our sins forgiven? Was there some good found in us? As many will stand up and declare, God looked down through time and saw that my good deeds would outweigh my bad deeds, and therefore I'm... No. No, there is nothing good in this. No. But, continuing in verse 7, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. His will, His doing, His good pleasure. God is sovereign. And He has displayed to us His wisdom and His power in Christ. And this blesses me so much. Why should the holy, triune, self-sufficient God choose to save a sinful, wretched people? Why should God the Son come from glory to suffer and to die? So that He gets all the glory. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. We sinners saved by God's grace, we do indeed look to and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. But we weren't the first to do so. Before we ever looked to Him, God placed His trust in Christ. And He placed His chosen people in Him. The Father of God chose us. The Son of God bore our sin, suffered, bled, and died to redeem us. And the Spirit of God regenerates and seals us. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth by the preaching of the gospel. That's how we hear the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. When a man proposes to a woman, traditionally, he gives her a token, an engagement ring. A token is a symbol of his promise to be her husband. From that time, she has the hope. She has the confident expectation of becoming that man's wife. But until the wedding day, she's not his wife yet. While we are in this world, the Holy Spirit tells us the things of Christ. He speaks to us concerning our Lord and His glory. But one day, oh, one day, He's going to reveal to us our full salvation. One day we'll drop this robe of flesh and we will enter into His presence without sin, and then we will know as we have been known. As the seasons of our life come and go, with all the changes, with all the good times, all the bad times, all the hard times, how we long for a lasting and a firm foundation. In everything we've read in this chapter, absolutely nothing has been left questionable. There's been no hint of hesitancy. Listen to some of the declarations. Who hath blessed, hath chosen, hath made, have redemption. All of it's in the past tense. It's all done. It's accomplished. It's finished. Above and beyond that, there's been no mention of anything I've had to do. I'm not involved. He hath chosen in Christ. He hath blessed in Christ. He shed His blood. He sealed. He purchased. Salvation is of the Lord from the very beginning to the very end and everywhere in between. I'm not involved. So what will I do? What will I do because of all that He has done for me? Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love, faith in Christ produces love, and it shall be expressed. Unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Don't we do the same thing today? I wish I could say I cease not, but I can't. Christ ceases not, but I can't say that for myself. But with every mention of a brother or a sister, with every mention of the Lord moving in a place, raising up a congregation that believes, do we not give thanks and ask the Lord's blessings upon them, just as Paul recorded here? Paul prays, and the Holy Spirit working in us gives us similar prayers for each other, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, from whom all blessings flow, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Oh, that we might know more of Christ. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that the blindness of sin might be removed, that we might be able to see more of His glory, that ye may know what is the hope, that confident expectation of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Oh, that we might know Christ and be found in him, that we might see him high and lifted up, and that he receives all glory, all honor, and all power. I pray the Lord has been pleased to bless us, and that in all of life's ups and downs, we might find our comfort in this sure word that God has given to his chosen, redeemed, and sealed people.